Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted, the podcast for those who are done performing, done people pleasing, and done living life on autopilot. I'm your host, Letitia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and this is where we create disruptive, unapologetic transformations for those who are ready to exit survival mode and reclaim their power. Every episode is your permission slip to burn the rule book, break the cycle, and finally build a life that feels like yours. So let's disrupt everything that's holding you back and start living life on your own terms. Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted. This is your trigger warning. This podcast contains unfiltered conversations about trauma, abuse, and survival. Discretion is advised. This is not therapy or medical advice, just real people sharing real stories. So please take care of yourself and pause if you need to. If this conversation hits home, grab the book Survival Mode Exit Plan, your raw, unapologetic blueprint to break free. Available now by scanning the QR code or clicking the link in the comments. Hello, 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 and welcome back to Survival Mode Disrupted. This is your host, Letitia, the Survival Mode Disruptor. And today I have Kelly with us. Kelly, why don't you introduce yourself?
Aloha. I know I'm introducing myself as Kelly Dockrell because I've spent 39 years with that name. But I am a newlywed and I'm officially Kelly Brown. But I just published a book called Acclaimed Journey to Aloha. It's still published under Kelly Dockrell, which definitely shares my crazy, crazy journey of how I got to this amazing life that I have now. And yeah, that's what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, well, let's just jump right in. Tell us your story.
Perfect. Okay. So to take it back, and of course, I'm giving the Cliff Notes version of the book, but to take it back to 2017, I was living in Miami, and I had worked in my career for 13 years, basically in a career that I didn't choose. I was working in global logistics transportation that I happened to fall into by accident when I was in college, and then immediately started making very good money in my early 20s. So I'm living in Miami in like a high rise, like still a college student making great money. So fast forward now to 2017, I've worked in my career for 13 years. And it was at that point where like, I'd wake up in the morning, I'm like, wait a second, I've been doing this for 13 years. What am I still doing in this industry? Like, why do I still have this job? Like completely stuck. And the best way to describe it is, you know, in corporate America, they put you in these golden handcuffs, right? So you're making a six-figure salary, you're a specialist in what you do, and, you know, that's just life now. This is what you do, and this is the trajectory. Now, all the years prior, you know, throughout my 20s, and now here I am in my early 30s, like, I'm really just asking for a husband. Like, I wanted to settle down. I wanted, my husband to come along and be the Prince Charming that we all see in movies as little girls. And so throughout this time, like I'm working on my career and I'm dating and nothing is bringing me peace and joy. Like I'm stuck in this career that I don't love. And I'm dating these guys that seem to be in a vicious cycle of depravity. And it was terrible. But you get stuck like this. You get stuck because it's survival mode. You're basically just trying to survive and keep up with the Joneses and make money. And by all appearances, I had this really, really fantastic life. So lo and behold, in 2017, and I talked about it because I was living in Miami. I got relocated to Dallas. I got relocated to Atlanta. And then I got relocated back to Fort Lauderdale, which is just above Miami. And each time I'd relocate, I was like, okay, it's time for me to start a new life. I'm going to, you know, meet a great guy and I'm finally going to settle down. And then each time I'd relocate, I was like literally stuck in the same cycle. Like, so people used to tell me, like, well, Kelly, you're never going to meet somebody if you keep relocating every few years. But that's what my career entailed. That's what I had to do. So the funny thing about it, though, was by 2017, I really started to take a look at everything. And I was like, wait a second. So I didn't meet somebody in Dallas or Atlanta or here. Like, what's the common denominator? It's me. So it was in 2017 that I definitely had sort of an awakening and I got pulled into scripture. It was actually the first time I'd read the Bible ever, even though I grew up like a Christian, but I actually dug in. And it was in 2017 that I felt like God called out to me. It was like, you need to change directions in life and quit your job. Leave everything, all of your belongings, everything, and move to Hawaii. And I pronounce it Hawaii because that's the way to pronounce it, but you might recognize like Hawaii. So most people are like, oh yeah, God talked to you and you were called to move to Hawaii. Ooh, terrible life. So the day that I got the call from, I felt like from God to leave everything behind, the next day I literally quit my job. Called my boss and said, hey, God called me to move to Hawaii. Gotta go. I started giving away everything I ever owned, everything in my home, everything. And now I was like on a conquest, like, God's called me to Hawaii. This is what I have to do. And it was like immediately all these chains of my life were broken because I was stuck for so long. So I did. Here's the interesting thing. I was making good money. And you know, a six-figure base salary, and had been doing this for quite a number of years. The problem is that when you're also trying to live up to the standards of that type of a lifestyle, it's very expensive. So you would think, like, okay, I quit my job, I had like massive amounts of money like laying around to go move out to Hawaii, but I didn't because I was keeping up with my lifestyle, but also before I left for my Hawaii journey, I paid off all my debtors. So student loans, everything. So now I'm realizing like I've got to take the cheapest possible way to get to Hawaii. So the essence of the book is really that story. So I basically like went from being like a corporate, like bougie salesperson to all of a sudden being like homeless, living in the wilderness, setting up tents and sleeping in like campgrounds with my dog. So I had this complete homeless journey that lasted about 4 months. And I traveled from Miami all the way across country to get to California. And the reason why it took me so long to actually get to Hawaii was because I had my dog with me. And dogs, you can't just bring in and out of the islands. They don't have rabies there. So it's a very strict process. So it was like throughout this journey, I started to find myself and a lot of tears and yelling at God, asking for my husband. And lo and behold, I did finally get to Hawaii. And when I first got there was a pastor that I just randomly like met in the middle of a coffee shop, and he started prophesying over me. And he's like, the Lord has a man prepared for you. And the pastor was about 6 feet 4 inches, and he was holding his hands up like this, and he's going, release him, release him. And I'm in the middle of this coffee shop, release him, release him. Like any day now, I'm going to meet my husband, right? So, sure enough, you know, when we go out on these big journeys and especially leaving everything behind and making a big to-do, I thought that I was going to meet my husband right away. But God does give us the desires of our heart. So, I ended up living in Hawaii for about 3.5 years. While I was there, I turned into like the number one DJ MC on the island, and I hosted big weddings. And then, while I was in Hawaii, when I was just about to leave there, I was praying or meditating one night because I couldn't sleep. And that's when, like, God downloaded into me the business that I had to start. So he told me I was going to start a recruiting business. This is all the steps that you need to do it. And sure enough, I did. And sure enough, that business was mine. And it was more successful than I'd ever been working in my golden handcuffs from corporate. Also, full circle, I did end up meeting my husband in Hawaii. He was there on a boys' trip. I met this handsome man, named Akeem, and he's 6'7", so he's very tall, and he's in the Air Force. So we met, we went on one date, and then we never spoke again. So then when I was leaving Hawaii, I moved to Arizona, and the handsome tourist that I had met the year prior had looked me up and said, "Hey, the Air Force is shipping me to Arizona. Let's meet up when I get there." And sure enough, our second date was a year to the day that we had our first date in Hawaii. So everything came full circle, and it was really in that moment of like walking out on pure faith and a lot of courage that literally like all my dreams came true. So now, I have the husband of my dreams, I have my own company, and now I'm a published author because of this crazy journey that I embarked on 7 years ago, 8 years ago. And ta-da, here we are.
Ta-da. I love it. So, because we talk a lot about survival mode here, I want to know what survival mode looked like for you. You talked about the high stress, you talked about the golden handcuffs, which I completely relate to. I literally call it a conveyor belt because this is where you're going.
This is it.
This is the expectation. How did it show up for you?
It's interesting because I do talk about that in the book. It was like a buildup. It was a buildup of just questioning, like, why aren't I happy? By all accounts, I've got everything. I have a great career. I get paid weekly. And well, like, why is this not feeling like success to me? Like, why is this feeling daunting? Why on a Sunday night am I get so stressed out knowing that I have to go work that job tomorrow? And I think what it really came down to it is I think for me it was just like God's fantastical timing, just like this big of an occurrence, and it just so happened to be at the pivotal moment when I had hit my peak in my career. Like my career was at the greatest it's ever been to, and I'd worked so hard to get there, and then all of a sudden in a moment shattered it and left it all behind. And that in and of itself, it's very scary because it's all you know. But if you have the courage to walk out and just do it, I mean, it's the scariest thing you'll ever do, but it will change your life. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't like change, and a lot of people are not willing to step out in faith and risk everything. I mean, the interesting thing is that talking about survival, I was in survival mode working that career, but the journey to Hawaii, that homeless journey, that was a survival mode, like mode in and of itself, because I was having to survive. I had never been camping before, but I knew the cheapest way to get to Hawaii was going to be camping. And like you see me out there trying to figure out how to put up a tent and like how to boil eggs in the middle of like the forest, and like everything was survival mode, but like mentally I had to stay strong, and it was just me and my dog. So unfortunately, what would happen is like there'd be times I'd just break down and cry, like hysterically cry, where my eyes would puff out. And I couldn't do that because my dog senses it. And if I was stressed out, he'd be stressed out. So, but it's funny because now I can look back on it and it's funny. Like it's funny that I sat in my car in some rando parking lot just crying because I decided to go out on a homeless journey to get to Hawaii. But it's being raw, real, and honest with yourself in those moments and just being vulnerable with everybody else to be like, look, it's not all beautiful. I tell everybody too on my social media, if you look at me and my husband, we look like the handsomest, most happy couple in the world, and we're just joyous and full of energy. But what I try to share is it wasn't always like that. The majority of my life was spent alone and crying and basically just being a real brat because I wanted this so badly to come into my life. But everything in its own timing, I guess.
I agree with that. Everything in its own time. And one of the things that I talk about, because I work with people to help them exit survival mode. I think there are three phases to exiting. One is awareness, which I would liken to your call from God, right? Like this is There's something else for you. Then there's this sense of reprogramming, changing the way that we think. And then there's this reinvention. I think we all have to let go of the person we had to become in order to survive.
Wow, that's powerful.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
Thank you. I found it interesting you talking about your journey, the homeless journey. I had one as well, for almost 2 years actually. So my
Wow.
family and I, we were facing homelessness, and I just decided instead of making this a big deal, why don't we just travel? Because that's what I want to do. And we literally spent 2 years traveling, slow travel through Europe to combat homelessness. And I think it's just really important. Sometimes we find ourselves in these situations. You find yourself out in the wilderness trying to figure out how to boil eggs, right? Because you knew you were on a journey towards where you had to be and wanted to be, right? And
Right.
sometimes there isn't this radical acceptance that people have. Like they
Yeah.
become so tied to the story that they tell themselves about the circumstances that they can't see the growth and the journey for what it really is.
It's wild too, because you'll recognize in the book, like I talk about, I'm like, a month ago I was eating caviar and steaks at a big nice restaurant, and here I am, walking through Walmart feeling like I'm no longer an acceptable part of society. Like I no longer looked like my former self, but I was on this journey. And it's very humbling. Even when I got prophesied over in that coffee shop in Hawaii, the night before I slept in my car in the parking lot, and I would put myself together in a way that I was trying to still fit in with the world. Like I'd walk in like I just got the greatest night's sleep, and it was just me and my lovely dog. But the truth is, I was sleeping in my car. So you do try to put on a face in order to be with the world. But it's weird because I did feel some level of separation. Like I'm no longer a part of like day-to-day society. I'm this weirdo. But the irony is, if you had talked to me one of those nights that I was crying in my car, sitting in a parking lot in the middle of the wilderness, wondering what the heck am I doing, but told me how my journey would end, if you had told me that day, I mean, gosh, like it would have changed everything. Kel, at the end of this crazy, crazy journey, you're going to marry the most wonderful man that God could have created for you. And he just happens to be so freaking handsome. And I would be like, okay, so I'll suck it up. But I mean, the fact that I didn't know what was prepared, but I think that I had a level of hope. That hope was for something greater than I could have even wrap my mind around or understood. So I can appreciate your journey because I can relate to it, because I was traveling homeless too. And you make the best of it.
You
And it's
do.
not a whole big woe is me story. It's a story of like capturing these beautiful moments and seeing things and doing things that I never would have done if I had stood still. Oh, I love that.
Absolutely.
That's a beautiful story.
Thank you. I think it's so important. You raised this point about the hope and faith that we have to have. But in that is also the gratitude for the edification that comes along the way, right? Like, even in our roughest points, we are growing. We are edifying ourselves if we learn to look back at the lessons that are being presented to us. And I think sometimes the difference between survival mode and actually enjoying and living life through radical ownership is just that, unable to dissect the lessons that have been presented to us
Yeah.
in the view of edification and growth.
That's such a good way to put it. I talk about it in one chapter of the book where here I am on a random Friday, and I thought to myself, what would I be doing right now if I had never gone on this journey? I'd be sitting at my desk, probably on another boring conference call, and here I am hiking some random spot in the middle of Texas with my dog, breathing in nature and edifying myself above who I thought I was, just some corporate sales rep making some people a lot of money. Here I was edifying the fact that I'm free, I'm brave, And I'm a woman of the world that is just going to go out and do what she needs to do. And somehow, some way, it's all gonna make sense in the end. So, you're right in that.
Yeah. So let's dig a little deeper because I mean, not everybody is as faithful as you, right?
Touche.
Taking this call and really like stripping down to the bare minimum to be obedient. And I obedience is what I call this journey that I'm on. I've avoided this. These conversations, the examination of my own survival mode for a very, very long time. But when you are obedient, it's almost as if you just get rewarded. I mean, I'm not saying there isn't any struggle. However, it's a struggle that doesn't seem so, how do I say this? Like, there's
You mean
hard, hard, right? There's like hard, hard, where it's like everything's fighting against you. And then there's hard with hope. There's hard with rationalization behind it. Like, how would you have described the 4 month journey, for you?
It's funny because I've had these conversations recently, and it's interesting because some people are forced into the scenario that I put myself in. Some people are forced into a 4 month or 5 month long homeless journey, and that's where their awakening happened. Mine was the complete opposite. I literally th threw out everything I'd ever owned, quit the job that paid me very well, and decided to go on a homeless journey, right? So it's interesting because I chose it, and it's funny because I had to live with the fact that I chose it. Like, I would wake up in a tent in the morning and wake up, and like, it's a crazy feeling to wake up and be like, where the heck am I? Oh, shoot, I just quit my job, gave away everything I've ever owned. I'm in the middle of freaking nowhere, and I don't know where I'm going. When I plan on going to Hawaii, I didn't have a place to go to there. And quite frankly, I didn't even know if it would work out in the end. Very quickly, when I'm on this journey, I stopped getting paid. So my finances dwindled quickly because I still had a car payment, an insurance payment. And, I'm still feeding myself and the dog and knowing that Hawaii is very, very expensive. So never once, even when I get to the island, I didn't know where I was supposed to be living. By the time I got to the island, I was basically tapped out of cash as well. So there wasn't a promise at the end to be like, if you do all this, you're going to get rewarded. So man, when I first got there, I was like, oh shoot, I screwed up. Now I'm stuck on this island. And logistically speaking, that I was stuck there was no getting off. I didn't have the finances to even turn around and go back. So I don't know. I can understand like if it wasn't for my faith and knowing, but a lot of the times, I mean, dude, you could walk in faith, and because I'm human, I could be on a high, so high and in so much gratitude and trust. And then the next day, I'd be like, dude, I'm a freaking moron. What did I do? I just blew up my life for no reason. And now I'm sitting here on the big island of Hawaii, twiddling my thumbs. I know nobody. I have no place to go. Camping's too expensive to even camp on the beach. Now I'm living out of my car, homeless in Hawaii. So, but ultimately, when you're in that survival mode, the funny thing is that the only thing you know to do is just to keep moving forward. And that's where you become resourceful. Like, there was a beauty to it. I'd wake up in my car in Hawaii, and then I'd drive down to the beach and I'd shower at the beach publicly. And like, there's a part of you that feels like a loser, but then there's a part of you like, I'm showering on the beach in Hawaii. Like, it's weird, but who gets to say that they've ever done this? So it's almost kind of taking moment by moment, day by day, and to know that all things will work out for the greater good because I mean, there was no more rock bottom than that. So, yeah.
Absolutely. I love what you said there. It's day by day, even operating from that level of faith. It's day by day. We don't know what tomorrow brings. And, often that is what creates the chaos for us, the anxiety around that. So
Anxiety.
yeah,
Anxiety.
that level of anxiety because
And to
it's
know that you're sitting there in a room, Even if I'd attend church, or if I sometimes I go sit at the resorts and just read my Bible or journal, and to just sit in a room and look around that room and be like, nobody understands what I'm going through right now. Nobody can relate to this journey. Nobody can relate to the anxiety that I feel. And, just kind of question everything. And it builds up more anxiety to be like, what am I doing? And then actually to tell somebody else your story and they look at you like you're just freaking nuts.
You are full crazy, Kelly.
So crazy, so crazy. When I read back the book after I published it, I was like, I couldn't believe it was my story. Like, I was like, whoa, this is nuts. Because not many people would do it. There's a comfort to the life that we get stuck in. And you say, well, I still have a roof over my head. I have a job to go to. I might not like the guy that I'm dating that much, but at least, he likes me enough to want to pursue a relationship. Or I don't know, there's a comfort in depravity, really.
It's settling, really, because we're not ready to be bold and courageous and follow our dreams. So we follow the conveyor belt. We get snatched up by them golden handcuffs, right? And then we end up in a space where we're just in autopilot.
Autopilot. And the funny thing is, especially in today's world, like the lies that everybody tells around us via social media. Because in social media, everybody loves their family, they love the town that they live in. And if you really peel back all those layers and find out the truth, a lot of people are pretty freaking miserable. And if you're miserable with like your spouse, your career, the city that you live in, I mean, those are three big things that you can fix and you can change because we have options. And that was my point too, is that life is so short. Like I gave up 13 years of my life. And the irony is that it didn't go to waste. I now actually do recruiting for the industry that I left. And there was purpose in it. So there's purpose in everything that we do. But just getting out of the comfort zone, it's scary for a lot of people. And the other thing, you don't want people to judge you.
Yeah,
You know? I was pretty
absolutely.
loud about my journey. I'm like, yeah, here I am on a homeless Jesus journey, I guess. But
Homeless Jesus journey.
it was super humbling. You know, I talk about at one point, so I'm at a campsite and I'm recognizing that like you become so grateful. You know, when you were on your homeless journey, like every morsel of food, you're so much more grateful for. So I was boiling these eggs in like the faucet at the campgrounds. And the faucet was gross. It had like hair and dirt and like all this stuff in it. So I'm getting the shells off the eggs, and one of the eggs drops into like the hair gooey mess below. And I talk about it in the book, and I just remember thinking to myself that I would never want there to be a time that I regret wasting food. So I did. I picked up the egg and washed all the hairs and all the crap off of it, and I ate it because I just wanted to show that like I don't want to be wasteful. And I want to be grateful for every little morsel that's given to me. And that sometimes happens too. When you get refined and you get stripped down to nothing and everything is taken from you, that's the time that like you grow closer to God or whatever faith you are. I won't force my faith on anybody, but you grow closer to, gratitude and appreciation. And you also during those times see who your true friends are. Like those are the times that really mold you versus when life is good, you're just, fa la la, everything's great. So sometimes you have to go through those hard times to appreciate the things that you have in these moments. I'm a
I agree
student.
with you. I agree with you 100% there. And I think these journeys, right, like these missions to to another space, often tell us a lot about ourselves that we don't recognize, because we kind of get held up on the narrative that comes along with following someone else's expectation, right? And
Totally.
we strip that all away, and then all we are left with is us. And
Isn't that
it's
wild?
scary for some, but it's a beautiful, beautiful journey. Like I would absolutely say the 2 years that I traveled was a journey to me.
Wow.
It was a journey to, I learned who I was while I was on that journey.
That would be the name of your book, A Journey to Me.
Yes, I love that. So Kelly, tell us a little bit more about your book, how we can get a hold of it, and how we can connect with you online.
So the book again is called Acclaimed: Journey to Aloha. Acclaimed is really just because it's the name of the company that I launched too, which is called Acclaim Recruiters. And acclaim is really just to, it's praiseworthy. Like for me, it's just honoring the Lord and His sovereignty. It's sold on Amazon. It's only $20. You can get a Kindle version for like $3. This is the picture at the end. You see me and my handsome husband. Because the point of it is like just to inspire, even in the dating world, I'd like to inspire young women to not settle. Do not settle. There's somebody out there for you. And if you get stuck in the rut, or if you settle with someone, you're going to waste that time waiting for like what's out there truly meant for you. And it's better than what you expect. I'm also on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is huge. Obviously, it's a great global platform, under Kelly Dockrell Brown. And my book's also sold in Barnes and Noble, which is fun.
Amazing. Well, I'll put all that information in the show notes. But before we wrap up, I mean, you did just say don't settle. Do you have one more takeaway for the listeners?
I would say trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding.
Yes, I love it. Thank you so much for your time today, Kelly. I really enjoyed your story. And listeners, as always, you were not built to break. But you damn sure were not built just to survive. Disrupt the cycle, reclaim your life, and thrive on your own terms. And I will see you next week.